Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is former Raptors assistant coach, one of our good buddies. We haven't caught up with Tom Sterner in a while, and he joins us here on Overdrive. How you doing, Tom?
Brian, how you doing?
Doing really, really well. I mean, we've been talking about that game last night, and the Raptors were not happy with themselves post-game. You know, they allowed the Cavs to shoot 60%. They had that game in the bag at half, and then the Cavs took off, and the Cavs put up 132 points. But for me, it was all about LeBron. He put forth numbers we've never seen before, and I don't think he can do that four times over the course of a series. How do you feel about it?
I would agree with you. I think Cleveland played one of the best games they've played all year. And the fact that they shot 62% from three, I don't see them being able to sustain that over a series, a seven-game series. So when you take a look at the fact, and Case and DeMar and Kyle aren't going to say this, but I will. When you play three games in four nights this late in the year, you had to travel from Orlando back up to Cleveland. I think that speaks well in the fact that, I think you got a tired team in the second half with the Raptors, and it's a three-point game. So I think there's a lot of positives to be taken from it. Case didn't deviate from the fact that he was trying to keep guys rested. Nine guys played a significant amount of minutes, and they had no C.J. Miles. So when you take a look at this, I think, it's just another regular season game. I know I'm watching all the ESPN guys, the geniuses out there, try to make something out of this more than what it really is.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Brian earlier in the show. If you had $5,000 cash and you had to lay it down, if the playoffs started tomorrow and Toronto was playing Cleveland, who would you be putting it on?
Well, I've said this all year. You know, Toronto's better for a lot of reasons, and I'm laying my money on the Raptors. And again, I understand I work there. I know Case. I know the staff. But I see a great improvement. Their team shooting better from the field, a two-point percentage than they ever have. Their three-point percentage is up. What's more significant is the fact that they're making 11.8 threes per game, which is an all-time high in franchise history. And it's something that's besieged the Raptors in years past, was the fact that they were criticized because they couldn't make them. Well, now they've got guys making them, including DeMar. And when you take a look at the other significant statistic, which will bode well from last night's game, which is what you're talking about, is the fact that they're the best defensive rebounding in franchise history. And Siakam, Pascal, and the bench mob are going to make a difference in the playoffs.
So, Tom, we were just discussing a little bit about LeBron and the Jordan rules back in the day. Is it, when the Pistons had the Jordan rules and really took it to Michael Jordan, before he established himself as the preeminent force in the NBA, maybe in sport. Is there anything that could be done along those lines, LeBron rules, that could, where you could try to disrupt them in a real physical, over-the-edge type of way? Or is that gone?
No. I think that's one of the things. That was with the Magic when we had to play Jordan as well, and we were the last team to beat Jordan, and we had some rules that we instituted that actually helped Nick Anderson be able to play Michael back in that series a long, long time ago. I know a lot of people probably won't remember that. But one of the things I think that the Raptors are going to have to do from the adjustment standpoint, and it happened last night, is when they get to that George Hill, LeBron pick and roll, Van Fleet was involved in it, And I think Siakam was involved with it defensively, is they're going to have to adjust it a little bit. Toronto does a lot of switching defensively when it comes to pick and rolls and screening actions. And they didn't switch with that. But what Van Fleet didn't do was get out in the path of LeBron. I mean, he's not giving it up to George Hill, but he's got to impact the ball. He's got to go after the ball and try to make a steal, which is going to give whoever's guarding him, whether it's Ibaka, and they had multiple guys, Ibaka, Poeltl, Siakam trying to guard him, it's going to give him the ability to be able to stay in front. And that was the downfall last night, was the ability for LeBron to penetrate, not only to finish, which he did, but also to make that dagger pass to Kevin Love in the corner for that wide-open three. So they're going to have to make some adjustments, and that's what these games will be about, is taking a look at it. The staff will go back, they'll evaluate. And they may not come out with it in game one, but certainly they'll have it in their pocket for the series if it comes to that.
With Tom Sterner here on Overdrive, looking back on the Cavs' victory over the Raps by 3 points last night. It was a really fun game. And what I've taken out of this game and the previous game against Cleveland is that three of those kids that performed really well last night, they've been performing like that all year. And that's Van Fleet, Poeltl, and Siakam. Casey's got to find minutes for them. Like he's got to commit to playing the bench, and we've spoken with Dwayne multiple times about it, and he keeps saying, listen, it's going to happen. We don't need to fall to conventional wisdom where you shorten the bench in the playoffs, but I think he's really got to be committed to that, because I do think that is the true strength of the Raptors that no other team in the East can match, is they have that depth, and if you spread the minutes out, you get more out of Lowry and DeMar.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I was with the staff here about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, not recently for the Orlando Magic game, but the one that was about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and they're committed to it. You know, I talk with them. They're committed to that bench mob, and it's a weapon. You know, like any coach who has, tries not to get his team beat, he does the things that the team does well. Case certainly recognizes that. You know, I've been with Case. I was with Nick Nurse. You know, we were all together on the staff. And those two guys are committed to that. They realize that is a weapon that they have. Just like you would have a dagger three-point shooter or a terrific offensive rebounder, you would certainly want to play that player. Well, you got to play these guys. You know, these three guys that contributed all year. Delon Wright's played well. He's gotten his minute. So you got, and then C.J. Miles, who didn't play last night. You know, that when you take a look at that, Miles didn't play last night. And I understand Korver didn't. So everybody can make their argument one way or the other, that this guy didn't play and this guy didn't play. But by and large, you've got five guys that make a difference, and they make a difference on a nightly basis. And when they win 15 out of 16, you know, games, those guys had a significant role in that. So keep on playing those guys, and I'm sure Case will do that.
With former Raptors assistant coach Tom Stoerner, let's switch gears here to this Kawhi Leonard Spurs story. A report came out earlier, courtesy of ESPN, that they held a players-only meeting over the weekend to try and force Kawhi Leonard to start playing again. And it's been an ongoing strange story all year where he hasn't played that much, and by all accounts, the medical staff in San Antonio has cleared him to play, and he just won't do it. Now, the Spurs are not admitting to this. They're calling fake news on this story. But I kind of feel like Wojnarowski's hit this one on the nail. What do you make of the whole Leonard scene in San Antonio, and what is it going to mean for his future in San Antonio?
Well, I was in San Antonio last night, as a matter of fact, but I was not at the game. So anytime I've been involved, I was in the NBA for 27 years. Player-only meetings are they're awful. They never accomplish anything. They never get anything done. They're only detrimental to the team. So if they had one, and I'm assuming that they did, it's not a good situation. And that's so unlike San Antonio. Coach Popovich, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, has managed teams over however long his career has been, which is a very long one. And so if this is the case there, this is a very unique situation. And I'm sure Pop has had maybe some questionable times. He's always had Tim Duncan around, and he's always had David Robinson, some real strong personalities. But I thought Ginobili's comments were really on cue, and he just said he's not coming back. So let's move on. And that's the story when you get down to it, is that if the guy's not coming back, you have to figure it out. And that certainly they played well last night. They look committed to playing with for each other, which is ultimately what you want. So if this story does break and it is Kawhi, seeking to go elsewhere or having a rift with whoever, it's there on the team, it's unfortunate, because certainly San Antonio's franchise is one of those storied franchises over the last 20 years. And I hate to see anything like that happen
them. Can you give me a little bit of background? I was aware of the story. Like, why the hell isn't he playing? I don't get it. Like, why do they have to try to talk? Your job as a pro athlete is to play. What is it? What is going on? I don't get it.
Well, either it's a conflict. You know, a lot of times what happens is either a conflict. And again, I don't want to speculate a whole lot because I don't have the facts. But typically it's a conflict with another player, a conflict with a coach. And I can't imagine, Coach Popovich, I can't imagine that, just because he's such a class man. He's been around the best in this sport. And I can't imagine that would be. And it could be from the standpoint that there may be more of a serious injury than we're all aware of. You know, if the medical staff says he's cleared to go, a lot of times that's a little questionable. But if the athlete himself feels like he's not ready to go, then a lot of times what ends up happening with that is that he just mentally. I was with Penny Hardaway years ago, and Penny, had multiple surgeries, and ultimately he just didn't feel like he could play. And then ultimately he broke through when he got out to Phoenix again and eventually started playing again. But by and large, I think that's got to be left up to the athlete, because they know their body and you just got to trust that they're saying and doing the right things.
Thank you, Tom. Always appreciate you doing this for us.
Hey, guys, appreciate you having me on. Thanks very much.
There's Tom Stoerner, former assistant coach with the Raptors, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca.